Wake up, everyone. Wake up, everybody. Hey, guys and gals across the universe. Hey, welcome to Groove Swing Speaks. This is our third episode of Groove Swing Speaks, and this is where we highlight what the both of our organizations are doing. Groove Swing Speaks, we talk about education, inspiration, motivation, and address areas of concern in our communities, and also tell you what these two fine organizations are doing. I want to welcome to the set my co-host, LaToya Yvette. Turn your camera on. There you are. How are
hello,
you?
Hello, hello, hello. I am.
All right.
How is everybody?
Doing great.
Doing wonderful.
Doing great. We've got Craig is in the house. okay. Oh, my boy. Craig Hunter. We've got Brother Robert Hicks. Hey, brother, how are you?
Good evening, good evening. Everything is everything, G.
Everything.
Sisters.
That's
sweet
right.
Sister.
That's
doing?
Right. And
we
have a very special guest also, our sister, swing sister, that's Reverend Tammy. Reverend Tammy, how are you?
Hola, sis.
Hey, turn,
hola.
Oh, hola. Hi, hey, turn up your mic a little bit. We want to hear everything that you have to say.
Okay.
And we invited Robert back because last week he gave us some insightful information, and we're going to get to you, Robert, in a little bit. And then we're going to talk to Tammy. But before we do that, I'd like to incorporate or like to bring to the set a little bit of our history each and every week. Now, you know, we celebrate Black History the month of February, right? But I like to talk about our history throughout the year. Our history affects every day that we live in something, some shape, form, or fashion, whether it's an invention, an idea, something that has made our lives better. And this month is also Women's History Month, so we get to do two in one at the same time, right? Bessie Coleman, many of you have heard about her. She was the first black woman to obtain a pilot's license. Now, she couldn't get it here in the United States, so she had to go to France to get her license. Now, she wasn't the first woman to obtain a license, right? You may have heard of, Elise Ramon de la Roche. Okay, the world's first to license, and she is also a French pilot. Now, why is that significant? Because Bessie Coleman had to leave the United States in order to get her license. She had to go to France to do that, okay? And so, you know, growing up, what we hear, we heard about Amelia Earhart. But how many of us know about Bessie Coleman? She was an amazing, one of the most amazing stunt pilot that ever was, that ever were born, right? And then let's fast forward to today. You guys may have know about this. Zoe Williams. She's the first black woman to fly a Boeing 777, only age 27, and she flies for Canadian Airlines. So anyway, that's my little tidbit there. Hopefully the information that we bring each and every week, not only of a historical fashion, but the experts and the business people, the doctors, lawyers, whatever profession you have, you'll bring something that can inspire one of our young adults. So I'm going to invite your friends to listen to Groove Talk Radio, whether they are groove or not. And also invite your children to listen, because something might be said that can inspire them. Having said that, let's go to Reverend Tammy. Reverend Tammy, I don't have a resume in front of me, and that's okay too. All right, we're going to do the who, what, where, when, and why and how. Reverend Tammy, I want you to tell the audience, tell us a little bit about you, what you do, okay, and me, and even your role in Swing Five Swing.
Well, listen, how you doing, brothers and fellow men, and my wonderful chapter president, LaToya Sisco? I'm just a little girl from a little town called Palmer Springs, Virginia. I pledged at Virginia State University in spring 80. Hey, Craig Hunter, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Tammy?
I haven't seen you in years. Good to see you, though. But I lived here for about 38 years. But I'm a business owner of ResMed Consultants.
I'm sorry, sister, your Wi-Fi is giving you problems there. I want you to do me a favor. Log out and log back in, and we'll bring you in next, okay? I'm going to go to brother. Oh, Sister Levette. I mean, LaToya. I could name both names there. LaToya Yvette to Levette. Please forgive me.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Sister. I go by my middle name. So it's LaToya Yvette, and you're fine.
Okay. Now, tell us, what do you have? What would you share with us tonight? You weren't with us last week. We had an excellent, excellent show last week. Brother Hicks was on, and we had a few other brothers that were on with us as well. Brother Craig was with me, and also my brother Clayton Brown. He went over at Virginia State as well. So, Sister LaToya, any ideas, any thoughts, anything? And then I'm going to toss it to Brother Robert. LaToya?
She was driving. She may have went up.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Okay.
Okay. I was trying to, see if I could, get Tammy's bio, but no, you said something earlier. You said is Black Women's History. What you said?
No, I said this is Women's. This is Women's History Month.
I did not. You know what? I did not know that.
Yes, it's Women's History Month, and I thought since we talk about Black History every week of some sort, I thought I'd incorporate the two together. But it's Women's History Month. Yes.
You know what? I'm mad. I didn't know that, and I wasn't ready. Because women have done so much, and, we've contributed a lot to, our community. And especially Black women,
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing how these little tidbits that we forget about or we don't know about. So I'm glad that you did mention it because I didn't know. I did not know that this month, meaning March, is Women's History Month.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the thing about that is that our children get inspired when they know our history. You know, they can perhaps relate to something that they hadn't thought about. I'm going to tell you a quick story, real quick, and then, Brother Robert, if you don't mind, then we're going to try Sister Tammy again. Okay, let the sisters go first. There was a young lady that I used to co-host a show when I first got into radio a little over a decade ago. I was co-hosting a show, and this young lady, her mother was my, we were co-hosts together, and this young lady was in college, and she was struggling with math, you know? And so I was quite friendly, you know, with the family, and so the mother was expressing her concern about her daughter not doing well in math. But she was talking about how she was a really good communicator. All her friends, you know, took her advice about certain things. So I asked to speak to her, and I did. And I asked her, has she considered changing her major to communications? She says, no, Mr. Brown, I haven't. And so a year and a half later, she called me and thanked me. She said, oh, God, I'm having the best time of my life in college. Thank you for suggesting that. So when they hear information, Reverend Tammy, I think she's still having Wi-Fi problems. Her picture is froze here. Maybe it'll catch up a little bit. But Reverend Tammy, if you heard what I said, would you like to respond?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now, but I think your Wi-Fi is really giving you a problem. So there might be a slight delay, but we're going to bear with it. So continue.
So are you asking me to respond to what you just made, the statement?
Yes.
That was great advice. I took a manager.
Boy, her Wi-Fi is really giving her an issue here. Okay.
Sorry.
All right, that's okay. We'll get it straightened out. Yes, Sister LaToya, that is a fact. And so many people get inspired. That's why we do what we do. Let's go to Brother Robert. Speaking of history, Robert, I'm not going to steal any of your thunder, but I want to address something that I was reading about patents. Marion Croak, I'm sure that name rings a bell with you, has over 200 patents. She's a black woman, including the technology behind Zoom. Brother Hicks, the floor is yours.
Yes, and a lot of people have this misconception about the inventions and the technology and the aspect of, oh, it's pretty much like men are usually developing this, but this is not true. It is true to the fact that women have been at the forefront of being inventive, plain and simple, especially when it comes down to voice internet protocol, and in addition to home security systems, as I mentioned last week.
That's right.
And in addition to a lady who is very, I believe she attended Morgan State, I could be incorrect on it, but I'll make sure to follow up on it. But have anybody out there ever seen 3D imaging?
Uh-huh.
3D, just being able to see images that just jump out of the screen. You can thank a black woman for that. Miss Valerie Thomas,
wow,
who is the illusion transmitter. So that in itself.
Oh, wow.
Or if you have issues, because I don't have issues right now, cataracts, but Dr. Patricia Bath was, in 1985, the inventor of a laser phaco probe that helps with cataract surgery.
Mm.
And so the greatness of women during Women's History Month, and also to tie in black women as well, you know, you never know what it is that you can make famous, or the idea of knowing that your name is behind something inventive, and even today, I mentioned about touchstone telephones, caller ID, fiber optics, solar cells, all one black woman, actually a woman that I had the pleasure of meeting when I believe I was probably, well, she was a professor at MIT, mm-hmm. Dr. Shirley Jackson. She became then the president at Rensselaer Polytech in Troy, New York. So the aspect of being around greatness, especially when it comes down to inventions, when it comes down to science, when it comes down to the physical sciences, that you can definitely believe that there is a black woman behind all of it. And not only in the sense of understanding what it is that we do, the physical sciences, but also the chemical sciences, well, biological sciences as well. So, I would say that it's definitely one to say that for black women and little girls, if you're listening out there right now, you definitely can be the next inventor. As long as there's things out there, as you can find a niche, if you can find something that can be improved upon, you'll be able to get that next patent. And you'll be able to get and say, I did this. Look at what I made. And look at how it helped society as a whole. So.
No, that is absolutely incredible. Now, that is absolutely incredible because I'm inspired. Go ahead, Craig.
Can't say nothing.
Okay, I'm inspired by what you said, Robert. There's a wealth of knowledge there. And I've done shows for years on black history. And throughout the year, I'll find a way to incorporate that. Let's see, we've got a few comments coming in. We're going to check that out, too. Raleigh graduate chapter of Swing Five Swing. Niecy Gaines is there as well.
Oh, Niecy Gaines.
Hey, what's going on? Thank you, guys. And now, share this with your friends also. Robert, LaToya, what Robert was just going through, I know you were dropped there for a second, the system dropped you for a second. But Robert, in those last 3 or 4 minutes, just shared so much information, some I knew, some I didn't know, you know, about our young black women. Inventors that have really impacted society in many ways, from things like Rob was talking about, from technology to medicine, even an ironing board. Okay.
I missed the ironing board, but I did get the cataract. I work for an eye doctor, so I'm in that field. So it's interesting to hear that. Like I deal with cataract surgery all the time, so it's interesting. I did not know that a black woman helping with cataracts. That is so. I'm going to be ready on Tuesday. Okay.
No, that's quite all right. You find where you are.
I will be ready.
Right. Because I had mentioned to you that before, I said each and every week we want to do some black history, but I found out beginning of the month it says, it's Women's History Month. I said, what? Okay, we're going to talk about that. We're definitely going to talk about that. And that's why, you know, what's really absolutely amazing to me is that there are people and people in power that has power that's trying to keep this information away from us.
Right.
That is the travesty of this whole situation, because these women didn't only benefit black people. They benefited society as a whole. You take any one of these things away that Robert was talking about, society is lesser forward, you know,
correct.
Or less progressive correct. Forward, you know. We talk about saving lives. We talk about improving technology. We talk about making our lives easier. We talk about so many different things, you know, that have impacted society and made society better. Why wouldn't you want that taught? Because you're not only hurting one segment of the population, you're hurting the entire population, because we all use it in one form or another. Robert, I want you, is there anything else you want to say? Because this is so fascinating that I just can't get enough of it. You know, I cannot get enough of it. And so, and then you're inspiring somebody out there. Let's see, Jewel Edwards Dunn. Hey, how are you? Okay. Hey, thank you guys for logging in and tuning in, and tell your friends about this channel. Now, you can also check out this show. It will be up on the website tomorrow in about 24 hours. Hey, write this down. Go to studiow.buzz. Studiow.buzz. Now, that link will work anywhere in the world. Studiow.buzz. Okay, this is a global radio station. I understand we have chapters outside of the United States. So share this with them. All right. The Facebook link is studiow_buzz. Studio W, don't forget the W, _buzz. We have an Apple app. You go to your Apple App Store, download studio.w. Studio.w. Android is simply Studio W, available on Google Play, Apple CarPlay, and Alexa. Robert, anything else you want to share with us? And then I'm going to ask you to talk about the conclave coming up. And also, you said the State of the Fellowship,
Robert.
The State of the Fellowship.
That was just past weekend on Sunday. But okay. We want you to just kind of like enlighten some of the brothers who may be listening as to that was our first event. And I thought it was very good. So you can start which one you want in order. It doesn't matter. But just give just a little brief overview on both issues.
Yes. I was just
getting Robert, excuse me. Turn your mic up just a little bit. A little bit louder.
Is my mic up now?
Yes, much better.
Much better.
All right. Just to give an opportunity to explain, we in Groove 5 Groove just had our first State of the Fellowship, and it was amazing. If you kind of get an idea of people out there, if you ever see the State of the Union Address, this is something that we do within our organization to be able to show the progress that we have within our organization throughout the world and the strides that we are making. So I would say that this is going to be more to come. I'm looking forward actually to the 10th State of the Fellowship. I like to think ahead, not just the next year, but a couple of years ahead of that. So but I would say that we have made a lot of strides, a lot of adaptations since our founding, October 12, 1962. But we would say that the heart of Groove has always been the same, in the sense of we are moving forward, we are progressing, and we are fighting the good fight. I would also say, because of the sense of going to the next event, because having that strong feelings, a strong passion that we have for our people, we're taking the show down to Miami, July 17th to the 21st. And a lot of people have said, a lot of other organizations have said, you know, they're going to be taking their conclave, their convention outside of the Florida area. We're not going to do that. We are definitely going down there because we are addressing many issues, but also we're helping out the communities and the people who live there, because they have the right to know that we care. Our tagline this year was, we don't run. We are definitely going to make an impact where we are, and we are going to do this arm in arm, side by side with our sisters in Swing 5 Swing Social Fellowship Incorporated, as we show a united front. I can say I'm so excited to have this opportunity to be back in the Florida area. This time we're going down there with not just the purpose, but also to have fun. A lot of activities. So if you see us between July 17th and July 21st, realize that Miami now has been painted black and white and black. So we want to be sure that we see you down there in the Miami area, and just reach out to a member of Groove for more information on that. And this is feeling good. We're only 4 months, a little bit more than 4 months out from it, but you can feel that energy. You can feel that vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And Robert, you can also mention we are reaching out to black-owned businesses in the Miami area to actually engage with them.
That's what's up.
And to give them some support, because a lot of the black-owned businesses have really been hurt by the boycotts in Miami. Some of them have actually went out of business due to a lack of patronism. So we're going to be there, and we're really going to emphasize supporting black-owned businesses.
And what's that?
And doing that stay in Miami.
Now, for those who still want to go, what is their contact information?
For our members, you can go to our links of membership 365 at ghig.member365.org. And you find the link information there.
Okay, okay. And Robert, I'm going to ask you to turn up your mic some more. Turn it up some more for me. Hey, LaToya, tell us.
Yes, sir.
The Raleigh grad, and the reason why you and I connect is because of Rock. Hey, Rock, are you listening? Okay. Oh.
I'm sure she is.
Okay. Hey, Brother Stephen Marshall, the Bronco chapter, he said he's in the building. Is it DeShondra Hampton? Are you, be you listening? Hey, that's really cool, guys. Thank you so much. And share with your friends, okay? You have the link. As a matter of fact, what I'm going to do, I'm going to type the link into the comment section so you guys can share it. All right. Oh, yeah. That's Rock. Okay, absolutely. So, anyway.
I actually have a couple of questions for Robert. But
Robert's
I think
here.
He walked he's away for a second.
He's still here.
He's still
here. Okay.
He's still here.
Do me a favor. Yeah. Before you do that, tell the people a little bit about Swing Fi Swing and what you guys in the Raleigh grad chapter doing, and the and Swing Fi Swing nationally and internationally, whatever it is, and then you can go right into asking Robert your question, okay?
Well, Swing Fi Swing was founded in 1969 on the campus of Winston-Salem State University by 12 dynamic women who dared to be different. We are, our initiative, of course, are to black women, women, health in general, our children, and just issues in our community, homelessness, education, definitely education. Education is very important. As you look, as tonight, as you told me that March is Women's History Month, right? And I didn't even know. But yeah, so we're doing a lot of things in our community. We're with Fathers Forever. We partner with them. We've partnered with, oh my gosh, a whole list. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I'm sorry. I normally have it. I could spill it out for you, but now you ask me and I can't even think right now. We are with the organization called, well, it used to be called The Healing Place, but it's now called Healing Transition. Excuse me, I am in the car. It used to be called The Healing Place, but now it's Healing Transition. That is the transitioning of and men and women, actually, who are coming out of the system, who have been addicted to a substance and are trying to help them reintroduce themselves into the community in a positive way, and also reconnect them with their families. That is also what Fathers Forever are about. They help men who have been incarcerated and just helping them with learning how to, you know, do their finances and reconnect them with their children, and letting them know that they are important. We also have been doing feeding the homeless, and providing them with accessories, toiletry items, anything really, like anything that you can name for that, to be honest. Also, we've partnered with education as far as Ali Kids Camp. They were actually on our first show, who is also a wonderful sister in the organization, Yashida Vinson. She is the owner and operator. And we partner with her and her kids and helping her in whatever way that we can. Oh my God, we've been out there helping people register to vote, which is very important.
Yes.
Yes. It is voting season, so get out there and vote, everyone. I mean, if you don't know, please reach out to somebody so that somebody can help point you to the right direction to be able to vote. Oh my God, I'm trying to think of something else. We've been everywhere.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good.
Look, I'm trying to think.
Well, you might not be able to take and concentrate at the same time on that road. It's mostly be safe.
Look, so, I'm not driving, so okay, that's a good thing. Great. However, I am watching out, but I'm not driving.
Okay, that's good. Do you have a question for Robert, LaToya?
I do, actually. I would like to know, like, how does someone go about getting started? I mean, you know, you have an idea, but how would you go about getting it packed?
So, Robert,
like
I think
the groundwork. Okay, so you have the idea.
Right.
You have the, would you have to have a prototype? Do you not have to have a prototype? Do, you know, like, how does that look?
Oh, that's a good question. Normally, you don't necessarily have to have a working prototype. It is good to have one, though, in the case of, say, if you're going into the mechanical arts. The idea is you have a application that you write out everything about your invention and what you've legally have claimed it to be. And within the legal ramifications or the legal boundaries, basically, that your invention is the only invention out there. Nobody else has it. It usually comes with a filing fee, as well as you are going to go through a process. As you have to go through the examiners who take a look to see, make sure that nothing else out there is exactly what, like you have claimed as your invention. And if all goes well, then you will have an allowance. Matter of fact, one of your sisters, sister Dr. Chrissy Coles, has a patent herself. So it is very encouraging to know that. And from the side of Groove, we do have Feldman who do have patents as well. But so it's encouraging to know that there is a great creativity within our own Feldman, which we definitely hold in high regard.
That is absolutely incredible. I know LaToya was asking about, do you have to have a prototype? But the process you mentioned, it would be good to have one. You also have to have a filing fee, and yours has to be unique. Can you obtain a copyright from something that was previously invented, but you made vast improvements on it?
Yes. There are patents for people who have taken something old and have created something new or a new addition, or it could be a new upgrade to that previous invention, and you can get a patent on it. Most of the inventions that we have out now are pretty much have been updated one way or the other. For example, your typical pencil that basically that everybody's been able to write, but now someone along the way decided that they wanted to put in wrong colors on that one. But say, for instance, a person wanted to update it to have a mechanical feature. I could probably use it. So somebody came up with an idea of having lead to be put inside of a pencil like this design and the eraser at the top. So basically it allows to just, that's an invention. That's an improvement.
Oh, wow.
Or say, for instance, someone decides to have, okay, we're going to take this same pencil, but we're going to add a grip at the end of it so it prevents slipping. That invention or that improvement caused a new invention to be made. Same idea, same concept, just now it's just something new and improved. And that's where pretty much
if as long as everybody keeps improving on what's currently out there right now, we'll always have new inventions. There's always an opportunity to be creative. Once everything has been completely made, there's no more need for any more inventions or no more patents. But that won't happen.
I was about to say, I don't see that happening.
Right, right, absolutely. No. You know, there was a saying that I remember going way back, and people said, everything has not been invented yet. So if you have an idea, you know, pursue that. And now, that's why I'm asking everybody that's listening right now, to have your not only grooves and swings to listen to this broadcast, but your friends and even our young adults and children. You know, children like to come up with new things anyway, and those minds are so fresh. And who knows where the next great inventor or invention will come from? And so, hopefully, by listening to this broadcast, it may inspire someone and say, "Hey, you got an idea? Hey, give it a." You have nothing to lose, yet you have no idea what you have to gain. And even, I talk about this a lot as well. If you try something that doesn't work, you still learn something. Okay, if you learn something there in that so-called failure, so is it a failure? Yes, get up and try something again. And these are things that happen. And I'm with you, LaToya. I am so intrigued by this, and it's really insightful. Because we all learn something every week, even though we try to bring our own area of expertise with us. But we also learn something. So it's a learning experience. And that's what this program is all about, education, uplifting, motivating, and inspiring. Hopefully people will be inspired by that. And the feedback that I'm getting has been outstanding, outstanding. Craig, what do you got, brother?
Well, I'd just like to thank Robert for the education on patents. I think, you know, that show and that discussion, Robert, we could bring you in every week, and we still probably won't have enough time.
There's always something new and innovative to talk about, and also the aspect of this is part of our own history. We have created so much. Mm-hmm. However, we have not been given the proper credit for what we have done, or that credit has been taken away from us. Mm-hmm. And we have every right to, well, they might have taken the idea, they might have taken the invention, but they haven't taken away your mind.
Correct.
They haven't taken away your other ideas that you have. Yes, they might take away one idea. Well, how about the other 10 that are in your mind that you can make more money from, or you can be creative? It's not it. You, the idea is the mind is basically unlimited. It has so much potential behind it. Each and every one of you out there does have that potential. All you gotta do is tap into it.
In your opinion, I'm thinking about what you do now. Correct me if I'm wrong. You are a patent and trademark examiner. Is that correct for the United States Department?
Patent examiner.
What is, to me, I can understand. I would probably be really excited being and doing what you're doing because you see so many things coming across your desk. You says, wow, what really gave you or gave you that wow factor? So, wow, man, this is pretty cool. Maybe a couple of things that you have examined and you are really impressed by the ingenuity and the idea.
I would probably say the fascinating thing is after seeing the application, actually physically seeing it in a store out there somewhere, and knowing that, say, for instance, that I was the one who looked at that and was able to work with the inventor or inventors themselves and to be able to make it form to become something and to be able to get it through so that now I've helped someone to be able to become an inventor and just become so much as a a part of, making it so that they are a part of society, but also because they brought something into the world that wasn't there from before. Yeah. I take pride in being able to be a part of that process, because sometimes the inventors themselves are mom and pops. They don't have $500,000 or $1 million to put into an invention. Sometimes they put in their own life savings. Mm-hmm. But to eventually come across my desk and see, wow, even the smallest of groups, smallest of families, individuals do have that creativity, as we all do.
Right.
All I have to do now is just take that concept and just bring it into fruition, bring it forth. That's all they have to do. That really gives me an insight and gives me a good feeling.
Right, right.
Sometimes it can be tough, because sometimes you might have to hold the person's hand to talk them through, and sometimes you even encourage them if they feel down. Mm-hmm. I say, no, you can still keep going. Here's how we can help, one way or the other.
Wow.
I can't tell you all the things. Can't tell you every trick or tactic or anything of that nature, but it's the idea of being an encouraging individual to that inventor, to that difference maker, to the producer, to the creator.
Right.
Do all examiners, as far as you know, have the same mindset that someone is maybe getting a little frustrated that it hadn't gone through yet, and the coach does? Do most examiners, do they take that, go the extra mile like you do in order to encourage someone, instead of just looking at the application and saying, nope, okay, all right, next? Is that the mindset of the people you work with, that, yep, let me help this person through the process?
Nope. There's sometimes it could be that, I'll say this, there's sometimes that an examiner can say, there's absolutely nothing that we've got here, or don't even worry about it. Don't even bother.
Mm.
However, there could be some, and it goes sometimes with a little bit of a digging into it, probably going into a little bit deeper, going the extra mile, as you say, WB. And the idea of going that extra mile to be of that caring person, putting some empathy for the inventor, because they probably might have done so much, or they probably sometimes inventions go on for, or the application process could go years, and the person might be down to their last couple of dollars. So perhaps there could be something I said, okay, let's look at it. Where do you feel that you have something new here? Okay, let's now, what is that? Okay, it's XYZ. All right, mm-hmm. Let's put that in, and let's go ahead and let's move forward with it.
Great.
That in essence is, because it could work, it could not work,
mm-hmm.
But at least we have the idea of merging together and forming some type of union, right. And also being progressive, that's what it really is.
Wow.
Rather than just saying, oh, I'm just here because I'm just looking at all this stuff that's in front of me. And it's probably nothing to it. But in essence, if you do go the extra mile, if you do happen to have a little bit of insight, you can actually make someone's day. I've had times where I've spoken with people, I've spoken with inventors, and they have literally cried on the other end of the phone.
Wow.
And I've had to, first of all, I had to calm myself down before calming them down.
Yeah.
But it's the idea of just maintaining a cool, calm composure and getting stuff done, getting it done.
You know, and like I said, you went the extra mile, like a lot of examiners won't take, go through the extra mile and kind of coach their clients and said, okay, woman, maybe you tweak this, tweak that. And then, man, that is so unique, because if they had otherwise gotten another examiner with less patience and not willing to do the extra work, you know, then they have may have given up on their dream. Where you turned around, you went that extra mile, and you helped them accomplish what they were looking at. That is all inspiring, brother. And I'm telling you, the part about that that is a little troubling is that they may get the wrong guy. They may not get a Robert Hicks. And that tells me how you take what you do seriously. You care about your clients or those applicants that come across your desk. And my hat is off to you, brother. And like you said, once it's passed, I mean, it's part of you too. And you can, see how you can take pride in saying, yep, okay, man, I helped this go through or I pushed this through. We've got Tiffany Hilliard joining us right now. Hey, sister, how are you?
Hello, you guys. Hi, everyone. Hola.
Oh, hola.
Hola.
Hey, you know Brother Robert Hicks?
I do. It's been some years. How you been, man?
I've been hanging tough. I've been all around town and just now settling in.
Right.
Settling in.
Right,
but
right,
it's good,
right.
It's good seeing you, sister. Good seeing you.
Right. And of course, your sister Latoya, she's there on my top right. And Brother Craig Hunter, you know Brother Craig?
I do not.
Okay. Well, this is Brother Craig Hunter. Craig, you are president of what chapter?
Hi, Tiffany. I'm the president of Virginia Union University Virtual Alumni Chapter.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And my name is William A. Brown, and I play as group at Virginia Union also, Panther Chapter there. Okay? So welcome, everyone. Tiffany. I'm so glad that we have another swing because Groove Swing Speaks is exactly in its title, Groove Swing. Give you a little background and also the audience. I started a program in Southern California about, I would say, maybe 6-7 years ago, and it was called Groove Talk Radio. And we had mainly grooves on. Occasionally we'll have a swing on, but not that often. And then after talking to Rock, out there at the Raleigh grad chapter, right? Rock is outstanding. Love you, Rock. After talking to her, I decided to bring the show back. And so Groove Swing Speaks is a spinoff of Groove Talk Radio because I wanted to incorporate swings and grooves together, you know, and connect the dots around the country. And the whole idea is to share our experiences with us. Just like you heard Brother Robert, he's talking about what he does, which I think is absolutely fascinating, and how he takes pride in his work and things of that nature. And so I want to know, I want grooves and swings to tell us, what are you doing? What do you do professionally? Okay. Who inspired you? We also give you a little tidbit of Black history, and this happens to be Women's History Month, and then talk about your chapter a little bit. So since I'm meeting you for the first time, I want you to introduce yourself to the world. This is a global radio network. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there, please share this. It'll be up on the website in 24 hours, studio.w.buzz. Don't forget the W, studio.w.buzz, B-U-Z-Z. We also have apps, Apple and Android. I'll give you that later. We have, obviously, our Facebook Live channel, that's studio_w_buzz, and Groove Swing Speaks come on each and every Tuesday, 4 p.m. on the West, 7 p.m., let me slow down a little bit, 7:15 on the East. Sister Tiffany, tell the world, who is Sister Tiffany and what do you do?
Hello, everyone. Greetings, my brothers, and hola, my sisters. So I am a member of Raleigh Graduate Chapter as well. I went over in fall of 2011, and my swing mother, she is the late, great Cheryl Cornegay. She was the one that had helped me come over into swing. And my last sister and I, we went over at Shaw U. We're both ace. And I also, but I went to an art school. So I'm in Raleigh. It's called Living Arts College. I hold a Bachelor's of Arts degree in digital filmmaking. I am a screenwriter. I have written 2 screenplay adaptations, and those books are out on Amazon. through a couple of clients that I've had. And I'm currently working on a holiday film script. So I'm a writer. And I also have a game idea in mind. So Robert, I'm going to have to talk to you about that as well. And I currently work at Amazon. So, you know, that's what I do right now.
Right. Hey, tell us a little bit more about your vocation. Now, you say you're currently enrolled in an art school, but you also...
No, so I graduated. I got my degree back in 2016.
Okay. Okay. So you already graduated, but you also have a couple of plays out. You have, and tell us again and kind of repeat that a little bit, because you're going to inspire someone who's listening to this program tonight. And this is what this program is all about. We want to inspire, we want to uplift and educate and sort of pave the way like Robert does with his vocation, you know, and with you out there. You're going to inspire someone. I love the arts. I love artists of all forms, you know, whether it's the digital, whether it's drawing. My brother is also a brilliant artist, brother Clayton Brown. You may have seen some of his work. But anyway, tell us again. Let's start this way. What inspired you and how did you get started?
Great question. What inspired me? My aunt, I live in Wilson County. I don't know if you guys have heard of Wilson, North Carolina. Wilson County is about a good 40, 45 minutes east of Raleigh. And, my aunt, she had her own quartet group, local. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with quartet groups, you know, back in the day, you know, they had like gospel groups. And so she had her own quartet group. And so she was a well-known singer. And, even to this day, even though she's been dead and gone for many, many years now, if I tell people, they be like, who's your people? And I'll be like, Melinda Wallace. They be like, the Melinda Wallace? I'm like, yeah, she was my aunt. She inspired me, just because, like, she was well known within the area, but she, not only that, but she was a well known singer and, she was a well known individual. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you can have a lot of creative people, but behind the scenes, they may not be good people. You know what I'm saying?
Got you.
And so, I would say she would definitely be, one that inspired me. As far as like the arts go, as far as my writing goes, I was scribbling and scribbling like with some poetry here and there. You know what I mean? Nothing, you know, nothing Shakespeare-ish or whatever. But I like writing, and my imagination, can be quite creative, if you will. Like I could just see, we could be having a conversation and I can picture you guys being certain characters. In a particular story or whatever, that just can go anywhere. But yeah, like I just like writing. When I was in school doing digital filmmaking, you know, I was on set and we had to like edit some scenes sometimes, or, I had to play the role of being, like, you know, the person that did the lights. I don't like editing. I'm going to just be honest with you. So if y'all looking for an editor, I'm not her. I'm not the one to put you on to people. But no, like, I just like writing. You know what I mean? That's where my creativity flow. And, I can just kind of go off from there. You asked about the works, that I've done recently. I had met a guy through LinkedIn, actually. He approached me through LinkedIn back in 2019. Cause he saw my profile that I'm a writer and whatnot. And he has a book out on Amazon. It's called Why Do Men Cheat? And it's by R.L. Weinkoff. Mm-hmm. Last name is spelled W-I-N-E-C-O-F-F. R.L. Weinkoff. And it's Why Do Men Cheat? And he asked me if I would do, like the screenplay adaptation for him. And I told him, I was like, I never done that before. Like, you know, I was upfront and honest. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, you know, and he was like, look, he said, to be honest, I came to you because you're a young black woman and I wanted to kind of keep it that way. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay. So he sent me the story in its book form, and I read it, and then I just kind of went from there. Like, I kind of improvised it somewhat on what, you know, added some stuff. And to my knowledge, he liked it. I haven't had much conversation with him about it since, but that was my first client. My second client, he has a book called Walking on Eggshells. That's also out on Amazon. And I want to say his name is W.R. Booker. W.R. Booker. And that talks about this, back in the day, this man, it's a fiction story. This black man, he got accused of killing this white guy, and some white guys had jumped him or whatever. And some, this French doctor, he found them, you know, scrambling along the road. And he basically did like reconstruction surgery on his face. And so long story short, the black man's wife end up falling in love with the French doctor. They end up having a family. They end up going through court and trial with the black man. And it was a whole big scam. It's a great story, I promise you. I did the screenplay adaptation for that as well. And I'm currently working on a film, a holiday, like Hallmark-ish type story, something that I created a couple of years ago. And so I've been kind of talking to some people about, you know, should I self-publish it or, you know, do it traditionally. And so I've got some information about that, but that's where I'm at right now.
Amazing. Amazing. You know, I'm sitting back because I love the arts, like I said earlier. And I'm going to have, if it's okay with you, I'm going to get your information from LaToya, because I'd like to contact you and perhaps invite you on some of our other platforms. We're on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And my brother's Robert and my brother's Craig, they listen to all our other story. We have music, talk, sports, comedy, entertainment, and a whole lot more. And a lot of people say, I like your podcast. And I say, well, yeah, thank you for that. But I just want you to know we're on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we are actually a streaming entity, you know, and it's broadcast. It's not a podcast. There's nothing wrong with podcasts, but they only last maybe 30 an hour. But if you want great music, great conversations like we're having today, comedy, we have that too. Sports, we have that as well. I'll give you more information about that. Tiffany, I'm inspired. And can you imagine any young person or any person, you don't have to be young, that's thinking, say, well, you know what? I would like to do what Tiffany's doing. I like writing things, you know, I like writing things down. I've got all these notebooks here, and who knows, all of those things that you wrote down, it could turn into something, you know? So, this is absolutely, incredible. Robert, your take on what Tiffany was talking about. Or saying,
I'd like to ask Assistant Tiffany a question. If what have you done so far, or well, ask this: what is your best work so far that you've done?
I don't think I've gotten there yet, honestly, because I'm just like really starting out, but. The works that I have done, I'm really proud of the first one, which is Why Do Men Cheat, the screenplay adaptation for that one. Because I don't have any kids, but for me, that first one was like delivering a child. You know what I mean? Because there's so much pressure on you. You're working, you're doing it for somebody else. And when I got done with it, it took me like 9 months, literally, to deliver. And yet, when I finally got done with it, I literally felt like a burden lifted off of me. And I was tired, but I was happy at the same time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, a parent seeing their child come into the world, you know, they're tired, but they're happy at the same time. So, and then this, the last one that I've worked on, this Christmas one, I did that under pressure. Like like the people, they had reached out to me. One of the producers, they actually reached out to me, and I didn't know. I was going through my email. I remember the day, it was Valentine's Day a couple of years ago, and I was sitting in the emergency room with my dad, and I'm just going through the emails, and I seen the producer reached out, and it was like, you have 3 days to respond. I was like, what? Like I literally just had the idea for like the movie. I didn't have anything written, like nothing written whatsoever. And I had like 3 days to come up with a film script. And, I did it in 3.5 days. I came up with like 72, 74 pages within 3.5 days. So that's another one that I'm super proud of. But to answer your question, which one's like the best work? I haven't gotten there yet.
Wow. That's incredible.
That's great.
That is absolutely, you know, that the first one, your first work that you, screenplay. Screenplay?
Yes.
Why Do Men Cheat?
Yes.
I think I'm familiar with that. When did that come out first?
That book, I believe it came out in 2019, I believe. Like I said, it's on Amazon.
I think what he's saying, he's heard that title before.
No, yeah, I know of it. I mean, because I think I saw it posted somewhere. And I'm sure that you, if advertise is the right word, correct me if I'm wrong, but I saw a posting on Facebook when it came out. Am I correct about that?
There was, and now granted, there are a lot of books that's titled the same thing. So, okay. But again, that particular author is R.L. Weinkauf.
Okay. Now they get, now if someone wants to view both all of your works, what link would you give them, or what link would you want to share?
That I need to work on. I'm not gonna lie to you. But what I could do is, if they wanted to see something, I would send them like a few pages. I wouldn't send them the full manuscript. I would send them about like a good, 5 to 10 pages, via email, so they can read it. And see if they would be interested in moving forward.
Okay. Like I said, let's talk. We'll talk off air, okay? I have some